one of the privileges that we have as we come to worship. We come to celebrate who God is, and we come to celebrate what he's been doing in our week. But we have a God who invites us to come and be with him. If you think about that, and you think, this is the God that spoke everything into creation. This is the God who sustains everything. There's billions of us on the planet. And yet this morning, he comes to meet with you. Because he thinks about you more times in one day than you and I could even count. And it matters to him that he gets to meet with you. And so I want to give you permission. You don't have anything scheduled for the next hour-ish. You can take a deep breath and just be. I don't know what you need from God this morning, but I know that God knows what you need. And I know that he's good. And so as we come to pray together, we come to meet with a sovereign Almighty who knows your name, knows the name of your family and your framily. Yeah, those are the people that we adopt in life, right? He knows the name of the people in your neighborhood and at your job, and nothing has escaped him. It's not like he was surprised or he forgot or it doesn't matter, because it does. So this morning, I'm going to invite us to pray. But the first thing I want to do, invite you to close your eyes and just be quiet and be with your God. Let him speak to you. You go ahead and speak to him. But my hope is that you know his presence and that he gives you his peace, his order in your life. The Lord, he's my shepherd. I'm not going to want, because I know he's good. And I do have all that I need. Sometimes he makes me lie down. Because sometimes I just need it. And I didn't realize that. And he puts me down in green meadows, and he leads me beside those peaceful waters. Because he knew that's what I needed. Because he made me. And he renews my strength. And he does guide me along right paths. And crazy as it is, he brings honor to his name through my life. Wow. You know, even when I walk through those darkest valleys, I know he's with me. And I know that he beat death. And I know that he heals illness. And I know that he remedied sin. And I know that he's eternal life. And so, like for Jonathan, with another surgery, we're thankful, God, that he's in your hands. And we beg you for healing and pain management and your help once again. You know, those things are in our hearts. God's not a God who says, come back when it's easy. He walks right into the deepest, darkest. And he's light. And I don't need to be afraid. Because God, you're close with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. They comfort me to know that you speak into my life, to know that you care enough to correct me is good. You even prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. When life is so very hard, you still care. You honor me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. And surely, goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Wow. When I just stop and think of all the times, Father, that you have pursued me, that you didn't quit on me when I quit on you, and I look and here you are. I'm amazed. And I say thank you. And because of what Jesus has done, we have the hope of living in God's house, around God's table, with Jesus. And I love this word, forever. Because of that hope, God, we say thank you, and we praise you, and it's good to be with you. Come and meet us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Little ones, somewhat little ones, maybe a little bit bigger ones, come on up. Yeah, it's a crazy thought, isn't it? I could count by hundreds too. It'd be kind of fun. Do you guys like games? Yeah, I like games. We really like games in our house. And so when we play games, like we got a new game this weekend. And so you know what we have to do when we get a new game? You got to learn how to play it, right? And so what do we read? The instructions. And we follow the rules to play the game. Do you like rules?
Rules,
thank you. Somebody's honest here, right? Yeah, thank you. If you made up the game, though, you'd still want to know how to play, right? Right? See, sometimes we have a problem with rules. I think rules are good, right? Because when we have rules, that gives us the freedom to go compete. I don't know about you, but I like to compete. I don't necessarily like to get, beat or to lose, but hey, if we have a good game and we can come back and play again, okay, I can do that, right? The problem is when rules maybe aren't good, right? Or what's the other problem? When they're unfair, right? And when they cheat, that's right. That doesn't make a game fun at all. And God gives us lots and lots of rules, and at some point we might go, are they good rules, right? You ever think about that? How do you know if they're good rules? Yeah. You're right. If you test them out and they make sense. What else?
If you, try to teach other people about it.
So if you can teach other people about the rules and they can play too, right? That's really important. What else?
And friends play too.
And friends get to play too because that makes it fun. See, this is what I love about Jesus. Jesus didn't just go, here's the rules. You go follow them. Jesus came down to live. And I love this verse. It's in John chapter 8, so let me just read it for us. Jesus says, I do nothing on my own. I only do and say what my Father taught me. I follow his rules. And I'm thinking, yeah, you could have just told us, go do this, but you came and did this with lived it out, invited friends, and came and walked and did life with us. And then at the end of this conversation, because there were some people there who were like really frustrated with Jesus in this conversation, and he said this at the very end. He said, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. He said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus didn't just come and say, okay, here's rules, keep them. He came to live those with us so that we could live and actually live the way we were made to live and enjoy doing that together with him. I like Jesus for that. So, cool. Can I pray? Jesus, thank you that you didn't just tell us what to do, but that you came and did it, showed us how to do it, and you did it with us and invited us to do it with you, with our friends together. In Jesus' name, amen. Have fun. How are you, folks? Good? All right. I'm glad to hear that. Seems like a sleepy morning this morning. Well, we're wrapping up a series this morning, First Things First, because we wanted to come in and say, hey, we want to make sure to glorify God in everything that we do. And then we asked the question, how do we do that? And so we're asking four evaluation questions because, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, in everything that we do, glorify God. So the first question we asked was, hey, is Jesus Lord? And all of us say, yeah, he's Lord. And we talked about that. Second question, We need to be sharing the gospel in word and deed. So are we sharing the gospel? That's the work that God's doing, so that's the work we should be doing, right? We're all in agreement on that one. I know, really hard, right? Third question, how are we going to do that? Well, he commissioned us to go make disciples, so we get to take next steps with others with Jesus together. Are we all in agreement on that one too? You know you're in trouble, right? We're just walking all this through. There's a point for this. The fourth one, yeah, you're figuring it out. Fourth one we're going to cover today, and it's about the kingdom of God, okay? And so if you've got your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 2 while I babble up here. If you open your Bible, it's farther to the right than it is to the left. If you find the Gospels, keep going to the right. So when we think about the things that Jesus talked about the most, you know the number one thing Jesus talked about? Kingdom of God. Number two, any guesses? Money. Number three, hell. Now, let me sidebar here. I'm really thankful for that. You know, Jesus told us the truth about what he came to rescue us from. That's sort of important, isn't it? Now, I get it. It's scary. And normally during the season, because I really like Halloween, I don't like the evil, but I sure love to have fun with my neighbors. I love to meet the kids. I love to laugh at costumes. I love to make friends handing out candy, getting candy, not a bad deal. And I get to make friends. It's good. And you know what? If you like the scary, there's some scary stories in the Bible. I mean, you may not be a fan of scary. And if you're not a fan of scary, the good news is we're going to talk about how Jesus rescued us next week. But if you need a little scary in your life, I got some for you next week, because we're going to talk about the doctrine of hell. And I can only think of one thing a little more scary than that, but that's really scary. And the good news is Jesus came to rescue us from that, and he does. And so next week's, you know, I don't know. If you need a scary story, next week's great. If you're scared and you need to know how you can be rescued from scared, next week's a great week. Good place to invite a friend. And just in case you're afraid right now, let me not leave you hanging. James is one of my favorites in the Bible. And he says, Eric's translation, those things that give us nightmares, Jesus gives them nightmares. Amen? Amen. So we have a God who's big and powerful. And we're going to talk about that next week, share the gospel with that. So just so you know. Philippians chapter 2, you ready? Here we go. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? And we all say, yes. Is there any comfort from his love? Yeah. Any fellowship together with the Spirit? Just look around the room. Why would we be hanging out together? Jesus. There's no other reason, right? And it's a beautiful thing. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. We want to glorify God. This is why we're asking these questions, to make sure we're on the same page together. Don't be selfish. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. Don't try to impress others. Again, not about me, it's about Jesus. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves, don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ, King Jesus, had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, took the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being. Boy, we could spend a long time thinking about that one, couldn't we? Wow. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Today we're asking the fourth question. Is the kingdom of God growing through us? His rule, his reign, his name, and his fame. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. We want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be done. And we need you to move in and through us to help us do that. So as we open your word and we wrestle this together, I ask that you would change us and shape us and do whatever it takes to make us into the people of God you need and want us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we think about rule, we've already started to talk about rules, but the reality is if you don't want rules, you can't really play the game. I used to coach football. There are rules to allow the players to excel and to do their best. Without those rules, it could get a little crazy. And if we don't know the rules, how do we know how to live, right? We can try to make it up as we go, but that doesn't work well, does it? And sometimes we think we have an understanding of the rules and we try to force those rules into the way we think they should go. And that ends up with a big mess, right? So this morning, I want to argue that rules give us freedom. Rules, good rules, give us good freedom. But that would mean that there's a good giver of those rules. Does that make sense? Like we were talking about with the kids, it's why I love Jesus. Jesus is king. Jesus was born as a human. Jesus lived by the very rules he gave us. Now think about it. Do you think you would have liked to have hung out with Jesus? Kind of challenging, right? But Jesus wouldn't have sinned against you. He would have been a blessing to you. He still is a blessing to you. And if you notice, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. I'm following the rules. Notice that Jesus rescued us by keeping the rules. See, the Bible has bunches of rules. And too often we think about rules and we think about hoops, right? And we think about a standard of, I have to be like this. I want you to remember a few things, okay? When did God give the rules? Adam and Eve. Did he give the rules first or make them first? He made them first, and then he gave the rules. When God rescued Israel out of Egypt, did he give the rules first or rescue first? Rescued first. You know why? He rescued by his grace. He gave rules so that we would learn how to do life with God, because he wanted to be with us. Think about it like this. We were lost, and God came and rescued us. And the Bible tells us that he adopts us as his kids. We're all used to living out feral on the street. And he brings us into his house. He sits at his table. He says, I love you. And now he begins to teach us what it looks like to live in a home. God's home. And that's good. And this is our king. A lot of people have questions about rules. And in Matthew 22, Jesus is talking, and an expert in the religious law tries to trap Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Now, these dudes, they had taken rule-keeping and made it like Superman rule-keeping. Like there were rules about rules about rules. And so this religious law dude was trying to trap him, but I got to believe in the back of his mind, he's like, I'm tired. Don't you get tired trying to keep all the rules and not being good enough and never measuring up? And I got to imagine at some point in our souls, we're like, really? Another rule? And what is that going to solve? A buddy of mine's a police officer. He goes, Eric, come here. And he walks me to the back of his cruiser. And he opens up the cruiser, and there are these three ring binders, and they're this thick, and there's three of them. And he goes, you see those? Uh-huh. Those are all the rules I'm supposed to enforce as an officer. That's a lot of rules. Jesus replies, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second, which was really mind-blowing to this guy, is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The mind-blowing part is he had two. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. If you do these two things, you'll keep all the rules. Okay, I don't think I should have asked Jesus this question because he knows more than I do. What's this all about? If I learn how much God loves me, we've talked about this, right? Let's do it again because it's good. When I start to see how God sees me, it changes the way I see God because I have all kinds of things that I might think about somebody who's asking me to keep the rules, right? Not all of those are nice. And then I find out that I have this God who comes and loves me and wants to be with me and rescues me and doesn't quit on me and he forgives me. It changes the way I see him. And ultimately, the more I look at him, the more I start to trust him, and the more that I start to see myself the way he might see me, which is a whole other conversation. And when I see that this God loves me so very much, that he believes in me, that he has good things for me, that there's actually hope, I can have joy. You realize the byproduct of hope is joy, right? That's what it is. Because I have hope, because we have a God who keeps his promises, I can have joy. And it changes the way I see other people. The problem is we get lost in one word. What's it mean to love? There's a lot of weirdness about this definition, isn't there? Like, what's love? I'll tell you what it isn't. It's not a feeling, although there are feelings that go along with it, right? You don't believe me? Do you really think your mom felt like getting up the third time in the middle of the night when you're like, Mom? No. No, she loves you. That's why she got up. She didn't feel like getting up. She loves you. When I think about love, I'm borrowing Tim Keller's idea, and he just simply says, to love someone is to seek their blessing. I think it's beautiful. To love someone is to seek their blessing. And when we look at God, what does God tell us about himself? When he describes his love, he says, my love is a never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. A faithful love, a good love, a perfect love. It's not a love that's like, if you do this, that, and the other thing, then I'll love you. No, I love you because I love you, and you are lovely because God loves you. See, we don't understand that. That's bigger than our minds can grasp, and I'm really thankful we serve a king who does. And as he sets these boundaries, sometimes we feel like that's more than I can handle. Good. That's a great place for you and I to be, because then I have to trust the one who can. Listen, Romans tells us this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ, the King of this kingdom, to die for us when? While we were still sinners. Since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since, I love this, verse 10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we can certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice, what? In our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. This is his rule. He's come to reconcile us and make us right, because you and I were made in the image of God to be in relationship with God, and that's bigger than our minds can understand, but not bigger than the arms of our Savior who loves us. So does that mean we like don't have to worry about rules anymore? No, we have rules so that we can have relationship together, and Jesus reminds us that everything I've said in my rules, what does he say? Not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. There's a reason why God has ordered and ordained and put rules out so we can be who he made us to be. And if we learn to ignore some of this, James warns us, if you know the good that you ought to do and you don't do it, for you, that's sin. And as we're getting lost back again, because as soon as we start talking rules, we're like, okay, I got this hoop over here, and maybe I'm not good enough there. Jesus says this, I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you mean those super rule dudes? Yeah. You'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. But I can't keep all the rules. Yeah, I know. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But by grace, a gift of God through faith, because I've learned to trust this God who loves me so much and extends himself to me, Jesus is the one who restores that right relationship. Jesus is going to give us the Holy Spirit to help us follow him. Jesus is our King, and he's inviting us to walk with him to help others learn to do that as we learn to love God, love ourselves, love our neighbors. This is his rule. Good stuff. I want to make sure that it's his rule that we're following. So it's his rule. It's also his reign. Now, when I think reign, I'm not talking wet. I'm talking the exercise of his sovereign power. It's when those rules get enforced. It's when there's authority and everybody goes, ooh, authority. I don't like that word. I agree. It's a hard word. You know why it's a hard word? Well, because when we think about authority, what do you think? Let me see. How many people in this room think, how can I rebel against authority? Okay, you're on my team. How many of you are like, no, I'm the one that's supposed to be an authority? Or maybe I can work around that. You don't really have authority. Who are you, right? This is a mess. Our world is a mess. Let me define that mess for us. You ready? Really complicated. It's called sin. Right? We actually told ourselves that we could be God of our own world. Yeah, it doesn't work. And we have this mess, and we do not understand authority. Let me help us try to understand authority a little bit this morning. You realize it's not about the authority, right? It's about the role. Think about it. I'm meeting with the elders, and we're starting to pray through all the passages where the elders are given authority. But here's why. In Hebrews 13, one of my top three scariest verses in the Bible, I'm supposed to shepherd the people who God's given to me with the other elders. We're supposed to do that together, and God's going to hold me, us, accountable for your souls. That's terrifying. I stay up at night a lot praying for you and for me because I could be a mess. I need Jesus. How in the world am I going to care for you like that? And if Jesus is going to evaluate me eternally and us eternally, I want to do that really well for you, for me, for, I mean, what? Why would you? How can I even do that? God gives authority. To what? Lead, feed, shepherd, and protect. This is the conversation that Paul is having with the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. How can I lead you? I can't. So I follow Jesus, and we follow him together, and I try to, a leader's a first liver. So I want to be the first one taking that step. Feed. I want to be able to handle God's word well. That means I need to teach God's word, not Eric. Shepherd. I need to love you. So I need to know you. Tuesdays are still open. I'd love to hear your stories. I'd love to pray with you. This is why, because I need to know how to encourage you. If Tuesdays don't work, tell me. I'd love to pray with you and figure out how I can help you be wildly successful for the glory of God. And with that, I need to protect you. I do. I need to guard the doctrine of the church. Hey, are we actually thinking through this correctly? I need to be the first one to say, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm not perfect yet. I'll be perfect when I'm dead or when Jesus comes back. How do I make that right with you? Right? No. We need to come back and lean in with Jesus. If I don't have that authority from Jesus, who has the ultimate authority because he's the head of the church, I will fail. And in the midst of that, God, in his love, tells us things like in Romans 13, you only need to be afraid if you did something wrong. I give authority to deal with that. And most of the time we say amen. And we want good, godly authority to deal with that. We want authority to act the way they should. And it's why it bothers us so very much when authority doesn't. Think about it. Hebrews 12, God says, I discipline you. And I get it's not comfortable. I try to bring you back. Why? Because I love you. If you weren't my kid, I wouldn't lean in and discipline. Moms, dads, tell me, how hard is it to lean in and discipline? Right? It's so hard, isn't it? And to think, oh, you only do it because you love them. That's what God's doing with us. Authority is given to help us serve other people, to help them be wildly successful for the glory of God in whatever role you've been given. Authority is given to serve. Do you hear that? That's a bottom line. That only comes when Jesus is reigning and exercising that authority through us by leading us and showing us how to do that. I cannot do that without God. And sometimes we get lost in that, so there's that big wall coming, right? We're all going to die. Hebrews tells us we're all going to die and stand and face judgment. And this is where kind of sometimes we delude ourselves into thinking we're bigger than we really are. God simply says, 1,000 years in my sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or like a watch in the night. God, you're the same. Your years have no end. Mine do. Mine do. And it's kind of like we have these moments, and as parents, there are these funny moments. You're not supposed to laugh when these happen. It's when that child says, I don't need you. I can do it myself. And then 2 minutes later, I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. God's a good daddy. Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away our sins of many people. He's going to come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation for all those who are eagerly waiting. You know, Jesus lived under God's reign. Think about that. And then in doing that, he defeated the worst of the worst. And he lives and offers us eternal life with him. 1 Corinthians will say it better. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life because he reigns, because he's in charge, because he's powerful. There is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. That means when we let Jesus work through our lives in his reign, he is working to defeat Satan, sin, and death and glorifying himself. And now, instead of being his enemies, we get to be a part of him working and bring the solution and life. That's kind of cool. See, Jesus is going to put it all under his authority, not just in name, but it's going to all be under his authority, right? Here's the thing, though. We say that, and all of us, I hope, say, yeah, that's good. But how quickly do we run back when God says something in the midst of our life? Here, come, I need you to do this. I don't like that, Jesus. That doesn't sound like fun. They were not very nice. I don't want to forgive them. No, I was saving that $5 for something else. Mm-mm, nope, that's my Sunday morning. I get to sleep in. I'm just talking my own silliness. It's one thing to talk about Jesus being Lord. It's another thing to let him live through us. And there's this really scary passage in Matthew 25 where Jesus says at the end of time he's going to separate out sheep to his right, goats to his left. And he's going to say to the sheep on his right, enter my kingdom, because you're the ones who loved the sick and you gave food to the hungry and you visited those folks in prison. And the goats, he's like, you're going to go off into hell because you didn't love those people. And I read this passage and I'm like, what's that all about? That seems like rule keeping or something. What? Here's what I think. Jesus is like, hey, I want to reign through your life. I want to walk with you. And are you willing to say yes to my Holy Spirit's leading? Like when you see somebody sad, do you have an extra 5 minutes to go, hey, are you okay? And I get that that's uncomfortable some days. But like, if you show up in heaven or at my throne and the whole of your life is like, no, Jesus, I don't have time for you. I don't want to stop today. No, I'm not willing to do that. No, my schedule's more important than yours. Am I really following Jesus and hanging out with him as my friend? I didn't want you, Jesus, my whole life. And I can imagine Jesus' heart being broken, like you didn't want me in your life at all. You just wanted me in name only. You didn't really want to hang out with me. Why would you want to hang out with me here? No. And it's terrifying because I'm like, Lord, I can so quickly fall away from this. And I'm thankful that God is faithful and he chases us down and brings us back. But God, please, each day help me to grow and let you reign a little bit more, right? And I'm thankful that he's faithful. And I get that this passage is scary. And hear me, if he's the one that came and died for us, I think the Bible says that really cool passage, if God did not spare his own son, how will he not also give us all good things? Amen? One of those good things is a leash. Come here, Eric. Come here, right? You're missing the point. I'm being funny, but I'm really thankful because I can get stubborn some days. This is where it gets hard. I have not figured this one out yet. This is why we get to do this together, because I need your help too. Because some days it's just, life is hard. And I need friends to encourage and to pray and to love me enough to go, Eric, come on, man, step up, right? With the understanding that I get, you're not going, I'm better than you, Eric. No. You're saying, I love Jesus and he's faithful and good, and we can do this together because he's faithful and good. So as we're walking together, we want his reign. I also want to make sure as his kingdom is growing out of us, it's about Jesus' name. See, a name is given with power and authority, and Acts tells us there is only one name given by which we might be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. And what we read this morning, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. The question is, are you going to bend that knee as a follower praising God? Or are you going to bend that knee as a conquered enemy? Those are the only two choices. And sometimes we kind of get this weirdness, like we call ourselves Christians and somehow there's a status symbol with that. And with that, that's kind of where it ends. And there's this really funny story in the Bible where these seven sons of Sceva are out and their dad is a poser, who's pretending to be some really big religious leader when he's not, and he sent his sons out to cast out demons. And so what they're doing is they're going, I cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And one day a guy who was possessed by demons, yes, this is one of those scary stories in the Bible, looks at him and goes, I certainly know who Jesus is, and he really scares me. And I know who Paul is, but I don't know you. And he whoops him. All seven of these big dudes. And he whoops them so bad that they finally get out of this house naked and bleeding, running away. That's what the story says. And too often, We kind of come to Jesus thinking like he's a magic holy ATM machine. I did my devotions, I prayed, I went to church, how come you didn't answer? And all of us go, oh no, I've had those moments. It's called idolatry. That's really what it is. And Jesus is like, no, 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 no. Yes, there's power in my name. Yes, there's authority in my name. But you know what's more important? Who do you tell your name to? Yeah, your friend. A name means relationship. Think about this. Jesus says, look, you can only go through the door, the gate, and that door and gate is me. If you try to climb in over the wall, you're a thief. And too often we struggle with this, but God still, as we're struggling, graciously extends his grace to us, his gift of love, his gift of relationship, his gift of friendship with us. But he says, look, I know why you're struggling. Ready? You're trying to like fix this over here. And maybe if I add something over here and do more of this and less of that, it'll be better. And Jesus says, that's a nice idea, but it's not going to work. And John 3 says, no, 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 no. You need a whole brand new beginning. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. But I can do that for you. And if you trust me, I'm going to give you the right to what? Become a child of God. I'm going to welcome you into my home. You're going to have a seat at my table. And in Revelation, it tells us this beautiful picture of Jesus. He's standing at the door and he's knocking. And he says, if you will let him in, I love this. He says, Jesus says, you and I will sit down together and have a meal as friends. This is the name of our King. And so all through this, we want to make sure that Jesus is made famous. His rule, his reign, his name, and his fame. You know, we come to worship to celebrate who God is and what he's doing. And we celebrate God because he's good. And we actually get to live lives gathered and sent for the renown of our King. And here's where, whenever we trip up or we're hypocrites, we do a lot of damage because then people start to look at Jesus like he might be like that. And so we need to keep short accounts, and I want to make sure to make Jesus famous and not infamous, because everything we do, I want to make sure it's for the glory of God, because God loved me, he blessed me, he gave to me, he cares for me. I want to do that for you because that's what Jesus does for me, and I want to do that with you together. And I'm not perfect at that yet, but I'm thankful that Jesus is. So I want to make sure that we point things back to Jesus. I love that line in that song we sang. And forgive me, I don't remember it word for word, but it was like, you know, don't pay attention to the person that God's working through. I want you to see Jesus. I want Jesus to be famous through your lives and mine. You know, this is why we're taking the time to go, Jesus, are you Lord in everything we're doing? Are we sharing the gospel in word and deed? Are we making disciple makers who make disciple makers who make disciple makers? Because we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will be done for your glory. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have the right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence. O God of Jacob, I can't do that on my own. That's why Jesus said, I can, and I'll make it possible for you. Boy, he's a good king, isn't he? Oh, and I want people to taste and see how good he is. You know, the more we learn to walk with him, Proverbs tells us the way of righteousness is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the light of first day. You know, you look at this and you go, you ever, like, okay, Jesus, I'm going to try it. We'll see how it goes, right? And then it works. And then he corrects you and it starts to make sense. And all of a sudden, life starts to do this again. That's called peace, right? But there's the other half of this proverb, right? where God says the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they're stumbling over. You know, Romans talks about this, the good that I want to do, I don't. And the bad that I don't want to do, I end up doing. Ooh. Who's going to rescue me from that? And the Roman says the answer, Jesus. What do I do with this? I got to admit I need a king. And I got to admit I need to know how to live a brand new way. But that's really hard, so what do? I look at Jesus. And he tells me God disciplines those he loves. He prunes us. Holy Spirit sanctifies us. You mean you're going to do all the work to make me right for your kingdom? Yes. So what's my job? You get to hang out with me. That's not a bad deal. You mean I get to hang out with you and you're going to bear much fruit through my life? John 15? Yes. So I get to be friends with you, Jesus. Uh-huh. And you want me to go out and make other friends and we get to be friends with you together? Uh-huh. That's what you want? Uh-huh. That's not so bad. But maybe you still have a question. So let's look at Jesus real quick. Jesus learned obedience. You know how Jesus learned obedience? Through suffering. You know why? So he can relate to you. He knows how to walk with you, pray with you, love you, rescue you. How do you know he did a good job? Because God says that he's well pleased with his son, and Jesus said in John 17 that he brought God glory and he wants that glory back again because everything Jesus did was for the glory of God. When Jesus prayed and he prayed out loud, he did it so we could hear that he was actually talking to God and God answered him. You see, this kingdom of God is coming. And what does the Bible say about this kingdom in Revelation? It says that there's going to be no more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more goodbyes. You want to go there? Me too. Jesus then scares me. You can't enter God's kingdom except through the narrow gate. See, the highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few will ever find it. But what am I supposed to do now? I'm glad that Jesus gave us the truth and knowing that truth will set us free. What is that truth? He's a good shepherd who leaves the 99 to come and find you, his one lost sheep. Let me close by reminding us of this. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love God does not know God. God is love. See, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Hear me. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Friends, since God loved us this much, we surely ought to love each other, right? Right? No one's ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. I want to seek your blessing. I want you to be wildly successful for the glory of God. God has given us his Spirit as a proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. Why? Because of getting to know Jesus and seeing what Jesus has done for us. God is love. All who live in love live in God and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Here it is, right there. Our love grows more mature. He hasn't quit on us because we haven't figured it all out. He's growing us up to be like him. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. You know, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. And if we're afraid, we're afraid of punishment. If Jesus forgave us, do we need to be afraid? We love each other because he loved us first. See the progression? Love God, love selves, love neighbors, You know, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person's a liar. We don't love people we can see. How can we love God who we can't see? He's told us, go love other people. So God, this morning, we want to ask that as you've invited us into your kingdom, that you would help us to love our neighbors as ourselves and love you with all of who we are. We thank you that you've loved us first. Help us, please, to honor and glorify you in everything we do, in our lives, in our families' lives, in this church's life, and in our community and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Get it, we were on the outside looking in. And Jesus wasn't content with that. And now, because of what God has done, he's brought us in to be a part of his kingdom. This is his kingdom work. You know, and as we grow, like the Bible will tell us, I used to think all kinds of distractions in this world were valuable. But the more I get to know Jesus, the more I see that I need a new way to see. And so with that, I want to know Christ. I want to experience the mighty power of God that raised him from the dead. But then this passage goes on and says this, I even want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or the other, I will experience resurrection from the dead. Jesus, I want you to reign in me. I want to live as a citizen of this kingdom. And so as we press on together, because of God's forgiveness, we can forget what's behind. We can look and focus on Jesus, our King, and take next steps with Jesus together. And so my prayer is this for all of us. May God bless us with more of his kingdom in our lives, his rule, his reign, his name, and his fame. May he give us his peace as his order begins to order our lives as he lovingly, patiently walks through us. I want God to smile on you. I want you at the end of the day to hear your daddy go, I love you, you did good. And I want him to continue to be gracious to us for his glory. It's in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Amen.